City Music Hall, New York, New York.
With the 10th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Blaine Gabbert, quarterback, Missouri.
Blaine Gabbert's on the phone, folks.
Looks like the Jaguars are making their move for their franchise quarterback of the future.
So welcome to Jacksonville. Congratulations on living the dream and being selected in the top 10.
I'm just excited to have this opportunity and the dream come true, hearing your name called in New York City. And thankfully, the Jacksonville Jaguars did that. I'm excited to be part of the organization.
Welcome to the 2012 Jacksonville Jaguars NFL Draft. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Cole Pepper, and John Osher will guide you through the draft, pick by pick, with insight and analysis. We'll also hear from Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith, Head Coach Mike Mularkey, and the first-round pick of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to our coverage of night one of the Jaguars and the 2012 NFL Draft. As always, we have you covered from many different angles. My broadcast partner, our analyst Jeff Lagerman, is in the room. Cole Pepper gives us updates and perspective, tweeting as well. Fastest fingers in the room next to John Osher, the senior writer at Jaguars.com. Joe Fortunato is alongside as well. John Dineen, you going to say anything tonight? Maybe? All right, so we got a lot to say and a lot of people to say it, and we will also hear, as the Jaguars make their pick, from Gene Smith, from head coach Mike Mularkey. We are working on the position coach. We'll work on the player, and, of course, there's a chance that we could talk to Jaguars owner Shad Khan as well. So a full 3 hours, at least, is what we're planning, although, Jeff, things move fast. They already have. The Browns have moved up one spot, giving up a fourth, fifth, and seventh-round pick to go from fourth to third. And the anticipation is they really want Trent Richardson, the running back from Alabama, badly.
That's kind of what's expected, but, I mean, you really don't know. I mean, I don't. Has anybody of the valuable NFL sources tweeted anything of what the intention is as far as with the Browns at number three?
John Osher is my only valuable NFL source. So
Johnny, what do you got?
Well, most people have said Trent Richardson. I saw a tweet early on from Peter King that said maybe Blackman. But, I mean, all indications are it's Richardson, and, well, it's a lot to give up for a running back. He better be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and usually what you hear now, I mean, now that we're, you know, what, 18 minutes away from the start of the draft, usually some of the rumors that you hear are not smoke screens like the last 48 hours.
Right.
You know, what you're hearing now, there's usually some substance to it. Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com has reported that the Jaguars have tried to trade up. No indication as far as who the pick might be. We would think that it might be Blackman.
Colt. A couple of guys at ESPN are saying the same thing.
Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen both tweeting here within the last 4 minutes that the Jaguars are looking to move up to get Blackman.
But here's the problem with moving up now. I mean, the Browns moved up one spot and then had to give up a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh-round pick
this year
to move up one spot.
Now, Cleveland is also like the guy who walks into the laundromat with 100 tokens in his pocket because – They had 13 picks in this draft, so they were going to make some kind of moves at some point. So maybe their picks have less value to them. One of the points that their general manager made was that, hey, 13 draft picks aren't going to make this team, so we might as well use what we can, some of these extra picks, in order to try to move up to get guys who we think are actually going to make big impacts on
that,
the team.
That sounds very familiar to the draft that we had here,
right,
in which the Jaguars traded all them picks
2008.
For a couple guys.
Derek Harvey.
And
Quentin Groves.
It's a great thing
and
to
boy,
say.
Boy, how'd that work
if you,
out?
If you've got six picks from five to seven, you've got a much higher probability of two or three of those guys being good if you have six rather than three.
Now, the list of players.
So it's a lot to give up. To move up at all to try to get a running back in the first round is,
And compare that to what the Jaguars gave up last year to move up a little bit to get Blaine Gabbert.
The 47th pick, in the second round.
I mean, to me, and how many picks did they move up?
They went from 16 to 10.
16 to 10. You move up, you know, six slots, and you only gave up a second-round pick?
To get what you think is going to be
a franchise quarterback
in this day and age in the league, rather than moving up one spot to get a running back in this day and age in the league.
All right, so, you know, now all of a sudden it seems like it is prohibitively expensive to move up into the top five. Will it be
Yeah,
the same thing for teams wanting to move into the top 10.
Because you have to also look at what the Redskins gave up to get to the number 2 spot, mm-hmm. which is their respective draft RG3. I mean, what they paid is astronomical, and you wonder, the new collective bargaining agreement with, you know, the controlled now amount of money that you're going to pay the rookies,
right.
has that driven the cost up that much?
Well, and my question is if the Jaguars don't go up and they stay at 7, will they get anybody to come up to them? I mean, Detroit has been talking all day, or at least there's been talk about Detroit wanting Stephen Gilmore. Right? If you're trying to come up, I mean, it's a king's ransom now based on what to me, this kills the Jaguars' ability to go back.
Well, and you wonder if they indeed want to go back, or if it's a case where they've seen they're not going to be able to go back, and figure, well, we may as well go up and get a guy that we want and the fans want.
Don't know.
Yeah, and a lot of this could be smokescreen. It's still hard to tell how much of it's real, how much of it's not.
And maybe
we'll know in about an hour.
You just hit on something, John, about who the team wants and who the fans want. And I walked in here earlier, Brian, and mentioned that if you were to poll the Jaguars fans, 97% of them would tell you draft Justin Blackmon. I mean, that's the fans' pick, and it's in a runaway.
Logs, I so desperately want to use your line right now.
Go ahead.
Or Tim Tebow.
Right. He's not in the draft. But they're saying, listen, draft Justin Blackmon. And I think the fans are saying that because they believe that he's an Andre Johnson or a Calvin Johnson or a Larry Fitzgerald or an A.J. Green type of wide receiver.
Very few NFL teams believe that.
Well, and maybe
that's
he
what scares
maybe
that's
he
what scares
is maybe he isn't.
To up to get him.
You just don't know,
right? The thing that you have got to be careful of with this guy, if he's indeed the guy you're going up to get, is you're going up to get a guy that most scouts do not necessarily believe is an AJ Green, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald. I wrote this morning in the Ozone, even those guys barely cracked 1,000 yards or were under 1,000 yards. Wide receiver, if Justin Blackmon comes in here, it is not going to be a situation where it's likely that he's a 900-yard guy.
If they
immediately.
Are. And you're right when you look at the numbers.
Very rare.
If they are going or exploring going up for Justin Blackmon, does it tell you that they feel that that is a critical year for Blaine Gabbert, that it's got to be this year, that they can't wait?
No, I don't think it does.
Because there's guys in the second round.
I don't think it does because if that's what you're doing, this front office certainly knows realistically that Justin Blackmon, it would be very unusual and he would be very special if he comes in here and is an 1,100-yard guy that is just lighting the league on fire the first year. A.J. Green last year was a can't-miss. You knew he was top five guy, and there were no doubts on this guy. He had 1,057 yards. I mean, I think it was like 1,057 yards.
Yeah, and 7 touchdowns. I follow
right.
you.
It is not a situation where he's going to be Randy Moss and coming in here and completely turn around the offense.
Right,
Blackmon.
It's not a 1 year situation.
Blackman's been compared to John. You compared him to Reggie Wayne.
In what I think his production.
And that it would ascend.
Rate might be, yes.
And then some of the other analysts around the league have compared him to Anquan Boldin. If he turns out to be Anquan Boldin, I'm okay with that.
Sure.
Hey, we need a break. We'll take it now. Come back with another segment before the top of the hour. And then the draft starts at 8 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have perspective for you as we go through the first round here on News Talk WOKV. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to our live coverage of the 2012 first round. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Cole Pepper, John Osher, Joe Fortunato, John Dineen here, providing you with some coverage. Again, the story at this point is that the Browns have moved into the third position by giving up a 4th, 5th, and 7th round draft choice to the Minnesota Vikings. And the question that we have and the reports coming are, the Jaguars are, and the reports, interested in trying to move forward to grab a top five selection to ostensibly grab the wide receiver, Justin Blackmon. There wouldn't be anyone else they're going up for. That would be it, right?
Jeff, if that means giving up a second, do you like it?
You know me, man. I'm a believer in the more picks, the better.
Yeah, I mean, especially with it being as deep this year and, there being some, I don't think the Jaguars are as far away as a lot of people do, but if there's a lot of guys in the first 70 who can play, I'm not opposed to getting three guys rather than two.
No, to me, your best chance of getting good players is having more players to look at when they get to camp.
Right.
You know, because if you go back and you look at the history of the draft, and I've said this so many times, there is a lot of great players in the middle to the bottom of the first round. And if you can get there and you have done your homework, which we know that this staff has done, mm-hmm. the more picks you get, the better chance that you have of finding a player who's a good player. Because after all, it's all projections.
Sure.
I mean, you truly don't know. There's no such thing as a can't miss. I mean, think of the can't miss prospects that have come into this draft. Tony Mandarich is probably the perfect example. I mean, they were calling him a future Hall of Famer, right? Mm-hmm.
There was no doubt.
The best offensive line prospect in 30 years. I mean, that didn't work out so good.
Total bust.
So, to me, the more picks is better.
You know, one of the things that we have to put in this equation, too, we were talking about Cleveland making that trade up with Minnesota. Cleveland has been one of the teams, you guys talked about it on Jaguars this week, we've all had conversations about a good scenario if the Jaguars are going to trade back, that Cleveland is one of those teams that you could look at because they have two first-round picks, an early second-round pick, and that might be a great situation to trade back and have that 16 and 34, 36, whatever, 36 I think is where Cleveland is in the second round, plus then you'd have your Jaguars second-round pick as well. You get three picks in the top 38, and just like you're talking about, Jeff, then now you're stockpiling in that sort of sweet spot where there are a lot of good players. This year, there are, take the quarterbacks out of the equation, who are going to go 1-2. You're really talking about four players who are considered to be impact elite players who are non-quarterbacks this year, by most people's estimation. Morris Claiborne, Trent Richardson, then Blackman and Khalil. That was the conventional wisdom. If the rest of those guys who we've been talking about, whether it's Fletcher Cox or Merciless or Stephen Gilmore or Riley Reiff or David DeCastro or any of these guys, any of those guys might be in that group you can get at that 16th pick. Mm-hmm. So, to me, best case scenario for the Jags is to be able to trade back to a middle of the first, early second kind of combination.
I think the only position that you trade up for, quarterback.
Right. And they did that last year.
Yep.
This report in the last 2 minutes, Pro Football Talk again, it's a blog site, but they are credible in many cases. And it has Adam Schefter reporting the Jaguars are now pushing for a deal to secure wide receiver Justin Blackman of Oklahoma State. It says that they could be dealing with the Bucks or the Vikings. How about the Vikings? Are they in an incredible position? I mean, if the Rams really want this guy, if the Jaguars feel they've got to get in front of St. Louis to get him, then you've got 6 and 7 both vying for 4. You're going to... It's going to cost you a lot.
It's going to drive up the price.
You bet. You're not going to get up for a second-round pick.
The best position to be in as far as negotiation is when you have two parties that are interested. And that could be exactly where the Vikings are right now.
Yeah,
you just don't know. And if there's multiple parties that are interested, then all of a sudden that price gets steep in a hurry.
All right. Anybody want to put some matchsticks in the middle of the table? And right now is we're 4 minutes away from the draft starting. Say who you think the Jags are going to wind up with their first-round pick by the time the day ends?
Well, I said last night on the air that I thought they'd end up with Blackman. I didn't think they'd trade up. I thought he'd fall down.
I
still stay with that.
Said last night, Whitney Merciless.
Okay. Right. John?
I said Merciless Whitney.
Merciless Whitney.
But I corrected myself.
I mean, I'm kind of with Brian. I mocked Blackman to them last. I kind of wrote today that I have mocked Cox, Merciless, and Blackman. I'd be a little surprised if it's not one of those three guys, but I got to go with Blackman. I thought that was the case yesterday, and all reports are is they maybe want him a little more than we all thought.
And I'm gonna say Fletcher Cox is their guy by the time the day ends. But after this trade,
I'm feeling real good about that.
Listen, John, you and I talked about this yesterday. That's who I kind of had in my mind, but here we are, and the trade is just that to move up to 3 for Cleveland is just really. Made things interesting here even before the draft begins.
All right, we're going to take a break, step aside, news at the top of the hour, then we come back right after 8 o'clock, and, the Colts should be on the clock. It's going to be fun, folks. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to live coverage of the 2012 first round here on a Thursday night, prime time on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back. We will see the commissioner come across the stage here on the televisions in our studio and put the Indianapolis Colts on the clock. They'll pick Andrew Luck. The Redskins will then pick RG3. And at least according to what we know, the Cleveland Browns, who gave up 4th, 5th, and 7th round choices, will pick Trent Richardson. Then all bets are off. So we're looking at Commissioner Roger Goodell right now. And here we go. The mock drafts are all meaningless. It's time to see how this thing plays out.
They were already meaningless.
Yeah, well, they, not for our show purposes. For our show purposes, it gave us something to talk about over the last couple of months. A recent tweet from Jason LaCanfora, who works with the NFL Network, says that the Jags are exploring options to move up for Justin Blackmon, confirming what Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen have reported. Says Minnesota's willing to move back but not beyond 5. Tampa Bay listening to offers. So right now, if that's true, the Jaguars would be talking to Tampa Bay about going up to get what they want, if indeed they are willing to pay the price. Well, I'll just say this. Well, I sure hope they don't have to give up number 38 in the second round, because that offers a chance to get a really good football player.
Well, and I do know that Gene Smith does have a good relationship with Mark Domenech of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, the preseason games, you know, they have a chance to talk in a really relaxed environment. You know, I had talked to Gene on different occasions and asked him about general managers that he respects, and he respects none more so than Ted Thompson up in Green Bay. But he had mentioned Mark Domenech as a guy that is a good friend and cohort. So if a trade happens, you know, there's a relationship already there. You know, and Gene and Terry McDonough always talk about they work the phones to build relationships prior to the draft. Well, there's not a whole lot of work that needs to be done with Tampa Bay.
No. No, you're absolutely right. And, of course, they're cross-state, but they're also in a different division, different conference. And so it doesn't present any problems whatsoever. John, now we're watching Andrew Luck now sitting at a table with his parents. And
I called this one.
Yeah.
You nailed it, Johnny.
Way to go, Johnny.
Exactly.
Yeah. One for one.
Just your perspective, because he's the next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. And even though we've known for a long time that Peyton Manning was going and he was coming, it seems a little bit more official.
Well, it's interesting to watch, too. Just a quick note here. They talked about the television coverage and not showing the picks on the phone before the pick is announced. But obviously have been announced, and so the networks are showing Luck on the phone with what I would think would be the Indianapolis Colts general manager, Gregson.
Yes, Gregson. Ryan Gregson is and obviously this is a very talented young guy, a big arm. And for the Colts, you know, to go back-to-back with quarterbacks that can be stars is interesting.
With the first pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Andrew Luck, quarterback, Stanford.
You know, because there's been a lot of franchises. I mean, look at the Dolphins. I mean, they had Dan Marino for 17 seasons, and they have struggled to find a quarterback since. And for the Colts to have Peyton Manning for that magnificent run that he gave them, and now it appears another franchise quarterback. Well, that's certainly great luck on their part. Here's Gene Smith, Jaguars general manager, on Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, quarterback, Stanford.
Natural talent, really has all the tools to become a great player in the league.
It's interesting, we're watching on the NFL Network, and they had the
Colts
war.
Most ridiculous
the Colts
thing
war
seen.
Room up, and everybody, it's tradition, I assume, everybody's standing up and high-fiving and shaking
they
hands.
They should be high-fiving Alexander Graham Bell because they were able to make a call. I mean, that's all. That was the anticlimax of the year.
All right, so, you know, back to Indianapolis. They took down the Peyton Manning banner, the huge one on the side of the dome there. And it not dome, Lucas Oil Field, sorry. But it changes the guard there. And for you who have been there most of the last decade, it's kind of an interesting perspective.
Well, it's strange, but, I mean, it's throughout all this, even back to when they were trying to decide what to do with Peyton, what you had to remember about the Colts is Jim Irsay believed that the franchise had been scarred by not getting Elway when they had a chance in 84. And for the next 13 years, with a few exceptions, it was a mess. They went and got the franchise guy in 98, and for the next 13 years, with a few exceptions, it was an elite franchise. So he clearly, from the word go, thought this was the key thing. He wants this kind of guy as his franchise quarterback, and that's, you know, you have to, in life you always go with your experiences, and for that franchise, their experience has been that this is what you have to do.
Well, it's worth pointing out to the casual observer: this is how you get the franchise quarterback. You have a year like they had last year. If you are
14-2, unless you pull off a whopper of a trade, you don't get a shot at this guy. But you do, because they were 2-14. Now they have to be patient while he develops.
Well, and just a look at the big picture in a division. I mean, now in the AFC South, you've got what is now an old man from my Virginia guy down in Houston, and then you have young quarterbacks all the way through the rest of the division. It's going to be
second year guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting future here with the AFC South. You know, you got Andrew Luck now, you know, Blaine Gabbert here, and then the guy in Tennessee that is expected to start, Jake Locker. So, holy cow.
Yeah, I noticed, I don't know if this has happened before. I'm not used to that. But the jersey he held up was not your typical number one. It was number 12.
They've already given him, had his name on the back. It wasn't just first-round pick. He's got it, and he's ready to go. No surprise at all.
None whatsoever. So now the Washington Redskins are on the clock. They've taken just about 4 minutes. I mean, this should be as simple as anything for what they gave up. Obviously, Robert Griffin III, the quarterback from Baylor.
And, you know, this will be, what, the fifth time that there have been quarterbacks go 1-2 in the history of the draft?
Was 98 the last time? Or was 99?
They
Donovan
had
McNabb followed up Tim Couch.
So you Couch and McNabb. One of those worked out, one of them didn't. Mm-hmm. Manning and Leaf, one of them worked out, one of them didn't. Bledsoe and Rick Meyer, one of them worked out, one of them didn't. So, I mean, it's...
Well, you go all the way back to Jim Plunkett and Archie Manning.
Right, and both of those guys had pretty darn good careers.
Yeah.
But you talk about the most recent, and that was 1970, right? 71, something like that.
I was very young.
I was minus years at that point. So, everybody right now thinks that both these guys are going to be stars in the National Football League. The numbers say, the history indicates, and one of them will and one of them won't be.
Well, in the Redskins, you know, Jeff followed them growing up as I did. This is a franchise that for 20 years has really been a mess. And they really haven't been able to build the way they've tried to build. I mean, you know, through free agency, through doing it the normal way. And clearly this is a franchise that believes it needs this dynamic guy. I'm always skeptical right now when it comes to the Redskins that they're going to follow up a move like this by doing things the right way. And I don't think a quarterback, unless you put things around him, is a franchise-saving thing unless you've got a good structure around him. So I'm curious as to what Robert Griffin's going to step into.
But and you talk about the last 20 years, that downfall coincided with the change of ownership.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's clearly a franchise that has – you know, played fantasy football in free agency, and, you know, that rarely works, and it hasn't worked for them. So this is, you know, sort of, I think, a byproduct of a lot of rough years having happened because of that. And this is a special guy. We'll see if they can surround him with enough stability to allow him to be special in the NFL.
That's the issue. Who does he throw to right now? I mean, does Santana Moss stay?
Well, and they're not going to pick anybody for him today. I mean, it's going to be a while before – you would think they get the structure in place around him, unless they start spending to do it, and that's always dangerous for that franchise.
This is interesting to me, too, is going to be to watch these two guys, because you've got Luck, who the perception is the classic stand-in-the-pocket, deliver-the-ball quarterback. But the reality is, while he does do that, he's an excellent athlete. His measurables at the combine were Cam Newton-esque.
Outstanding.
Cam Newton-esque in terms of his 40 and his vertical and his measurements, and he doesn't have a cannon for an arm, but
his game is see the field and play NFL quarterback.
I agree with you. He just looked like an NFL quarterback for 3 years, you know, playing at Stanford.
He happens to be able to do the other stuff, but the key is he can see it.
And RG3, who is a competitive hurdler in college, you know, was an outstanding, great physical specimen.
I was not a competitive hurdler.
Just really? You look like it.
That really surprised me.
Oh, I hurdled.
On his way to the bar.
Hurling and hurdling are two different things.
The measurables you talked about, you know, Andrew Luck, a 4.6 range, 40-yard dash, a 10-foot broad jump, standing broad jump, and then the three-cone drill, 6.80, and then the 20-yard shuttle, which is a big indicator of quickness. Mm-hmm. He was a 4.28, and if your four-cone drill is below your 40-yard dash time, they consider you quick. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he's, as you say, measurables. He's got them all.
All right, so here's Roger Goodell with the Redskins selection.
Number two.
With the second pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Washington Redskins select Robert Griffin III, quarterback Baylor.
All right, and here's our talent evaluator, Gene Smith.
Robert Griffin III, quarterback Baylor.
Dynamic playmaker, can stress a defense not just with his arm but with his legs. He's a guy that certainly doesn't limit your play calling because of things he can do, like they said, as a runner and a thrower.
You know, the one thing about him that I have been impressed with, both reading other people's work and then just listening to him, is his command. I mean, he's in complete command of himself, and his leadership characteristics stand out. So you're talking about a young guy going into Washington, D.C. I mean, there's going to be so much pressure on him. You get no sense from listening to him that that's going to bother him at all.
Son of two sergeants, right? Both of his parents are Army sergeants. And you think the kid will be disciplined based on that?
Yeah, you would think, but then you can say that Reggie Williams came good from point. A military family, and that didn't work out so well. I mean, I'm not trying to be the downer here for Redskins fans. But, you know, when we heard that Reggie Williams had come from a military background, we were like, that's a positive thing. Yeah. But, you know, I love the way Robert Griffin III handles himself with media and stuff, because as a quarterback, you've got to be able to have those skills. Because you're going to have rough spots early in your career. Not everybody's going to come out like Cam Newton and just light it up. It just doesn't happen.
He comes across as very genuine.
Genuine, thoughtful, intelligent, well-spoken. He's got all the traits that you'd want with a guy that's going to be the face of the franchise, because that's what quarterbacks are now.
I just live-blogged this, but I called Griffin, too, by the way. So I'm too
John, confused. Talk about in the zone.
I'm on fire.
You know,
I'm not a big self-promoter, but I will.
Let me clarify. You called him the second pick.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want people to think that you called him Robert Griffin the second.
No. Right. I called him second. Yeah, I thought that this
you threw
might
me
be
for a loop there just for a second.
There you go. All right. You're becoming. I mean, you're not a self-promoter, but you're fast becoming one.
That's fine.
We should point that out. Well, no, you fit right in here. Obviously, the folks on TV are prolonging this for TV. Mike Lombardi is reporting that the Browns have already turned their card in. So, you know, at some point.
Who's Mike Lombardi?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Who's waiting for that one?
Go,
Culpepper steps up to the plate, ladies and gentlemen, puts the first one over the fence in left field.
That's a zinger.
You take
nice.
That one.
I'll expect to get a letter anytime now. An open letter.
Yeah, an open letter to Culpepper. I'll write that. That'll be fun.
I think you already have written a couple of those through the years.
Yeah, probably here and there.
But now that, you know, now this is over with, you know, the first two picks, which everybody knew what they were going to be, now the draft starts. You know, now the intrigue starts. And we'll see how the networks handle it for those that are listening via the radio, because they say that they're not going to show or give any advance notice about these picks. But with all the tweeting that's going on in Twitter world.
And with all the trading, this is a new era of the draft, because the trading is much more freewheeling than it was under the old system.
Because the cost is not there.
Because the cost is not there. And it's
cost to the player is not there, the salary.
It hasn't been covered in the past with the idea there's going to be tons of trades and tons of chaos. It's always been sort of a slow, easy-to-cover process. It sounds like this may be a chaotic next 30 minutes.
And so you say that. Let's get a break out of the way. We'll come back. The Browns are on the clock, reportedly have turned their card in. We'll have that for you when we return to our live coverage of the 2012 NFL Draft on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Live coverage, 2012. First round here in prime time on a Thursday evening. Sexton Lagerman, Pepper, Osher, along with Joe Fortunato and John Dineen, bringing you our coverage. The pick is in on the Cleveland Browns. It has been through this break. And we all thought they were going for Trent Richardson, and there's all sorts of speculation that is not all of a sudden what they're doing. So we're about to find out. Here's Roger Goodell.
Third pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Trent Richardson, running back, Alabama.
So that's what we thought, and there's still not been a surprise other than the move up by Cleveland. And so now the Minnesota Vikings are on the clock at number four. If the Jaguars want Justin Blackmon, you would think they have to be talking to either the Vikings or the Buccaneers, because the word from St. Louis is they like the kid from Oklahoma State as well. Let's check in with Gene Smith and his thoughts on Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson, running back, Alabama.
Really a complete player, a power runner, guy who can get the corner on a defense, can catch, willing blocker, an outstanding talent.
All right. So, I mean, this is a guy with big-time ability. I know people have read it. I heard it two or three weeks ago from someone that told me it was the best running back he had ever scouted. And this was a guy who scouted Emmitt Smith.
I think the impressive thing to me is that we didn't know who the pick was until the commissioner announced.
That's the first one of the day.
I mean, that's its first one in years.
Yeah.
I mean, since the draft has been covered now by two networks, NFL Network and ESPN, I mean, do you remember when the last time that happened?
Yeah,
has it happened ever?
About. Sure.
Unless it was, you know, sixth right. round, seventh round, or whatever.
Seems like it was about the time that Mel Kiper was complaining about the Jets making a draft pick years ago.
Do we got to go there?
We don't. You can reach him, can't you?
Hey, you know, the one thing that's rest assured is that my name always comes up right around
you
this time
get
every year.
Of national attention.
Never forget you.
That's right.
So, that's all right.
All right, so here we are now. You got Minnesota who traded back. All week long, in the last several weeks, everybody was talking about whether the Vikings are looking at Claiborne, the cornerback from LSU, or Khalil, the offensive tackle from USC. They need both positions. They need a lot of help on that team. The question is, most everybody assumes that Morris Claiborne is an elite cover corner.
I just got a tweet that says the Vikings have made the pick. I don't know how accurate it is, but that would seem to rule out a trade with the Jaguars here, which was, you know, something
and
of a possibility.
If it's Khalil, and then the Buccaneers can just sit and take Claiborne.
Well, and Adam Schefter just tweeted that the Vikings are taking Khalil, and then Tampa Bay traded the pick, presumably to Jacksonville.
All right.
So we may be getting closer than we think to the Jaguars making a selection here.
Mike Sando from ESPN.com reports that the Jaguars will be on the clock at number 5. So,
wow.
It looks like they have been able to. Now, what did they give up? Because going up has been expensive for the Redskins and for the Browns, and this is a draft that has lots of potential for defensive pass rushers in the second round.
But you really, I mean, that's...
If you gave up number 38, you gave up a lot.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key to how this gets broken down and how it gets analyzed. And I'll leave you guys to analyze it.
Well, hold on. They haven't gone anywhere yet. We're still in number 3.
We still got to have Vikings pick. Yeah. Easy, easy, boy. But the interesting thing to me is that did it happen? We're assuming that these tweets by these sources are correct. And if it did happen, what was the cost?
101st pick, according to Tanya Gangul, who just tweeted it.
It was the 101st pick.
So
that's all it cost.
A third-round pick. Yeah.
Which takes you into the third round.
Yeah, so your first round pick and a third and the third to move up. Now,
no, I'm
everybody's
sorry.
Assuming.
If it's the 101st, it's a fourth.
Fourth yeah. round pick. Even better.
Good math.
So I was told there'd be no math. So the thought here, though, would be everybody's assuming it's Blackmon. But depending on, you know, what happens now, is there a chance it's somebody else? Is there a chance it's Morris Claiborne?
Could be.
I mean,
I don't think so.
And a fourth-round pick to move up is not...
No, that's not giving up a lot.
Right.
I didn't want him to give up
one
a 38th
fourth
round
pick
round.
To move up is not a king's ransom
well,
anyway.
It just got a lot
I'm
cheaper
okay
to go
with
up.
A fourth-round pick.
You sure. bet.
But I didn't want to see multiple picks and certainly not one in round two or three.
Not the second round, so... All right, looks like the Vikings are going to grab Khalil. Matt Khalil, the big offensive tackle from USC. Now, of course, we're guessing, but they're showing him smiling sitting there, and we thought we weren't going to see that.
But he's not on the phone or anything, so...
I guess they can.
You know, that doesn't mean anything. You know, they just could be showing it because they think that he's going to be the pick, but you just
maybe
truly
he's just
don't
a happy
know.
Person.
Let's go back real quick and talk about Trent Richardson while we wait for something to become official with respect to the Jaguars. Everyone locally is now reporting this, that they have made the move up, and they will pick fifth with Tampa Bay.
And to give Tanya credit, she has reported that the Jaguars will take Justin Blackmon.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter has reported the exact same thing. So,
hey guys,
yeah, give her credit.
If you look at the screen down the bottom, it says who's next, the picks that are next. Jacksonville is next.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay has gone back behind St. Louis. So the trade obviously has come and gone. And now the Minnesota Vikings are making their pick. And we will have it momentarily for you. You know, who knows what St. Louis wanted to do, but obviously the Jaguars felt like trying to get in front of St. Louis was the only way they had a shot at Justin Blackmon.
Well, yeah, maybe so. I mean, you don't know now.
All right.
And by the way, now I think we can. Everybody had a hard time pigeonholing what kind of a general manager, a draft day manager, Gene Smith was. I think we can now say he's a trade up general manager, right? I mean, he has traded up to get Gabbert. They traded up to get in position to draft Derek Cox or Terrence Knight, depending on, you know, take your pick of who they.
Were. I mean, he's the guy once he goes and gets it, and,
yeah.
And I think, you know, from all reports, this is also a move to Shad Khanwan. I mean, that's what you're reporting. And so, you know, clearly,
yeah,
this is something that I think fans are going to like, and it's something that, you know, let's hope it breathes some life into the offense.
Can we get word to Tony Boselli, who's out there, where Blaine Gabbert is at the Fan Fest, and ask him to try to grab Blaine, and let's get his reaction to this? Because once this thing becomes official, I've got to believe that he's a happy man.
And now all of a sudden you look at a wide receiver group.
Fourth pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Matt Khalil, tackle, USC.
Hold that up for just a sec to see if they announce the trade.
Well, the Pro Bowl said.
Okay, they didn't stick with it, but the commissioner said something. So.
But my point was about the wide receiver group. You had a group that was in serious straits at the conclusion of last year. And now all of a sudden you look at that position group as completely revamped. I mean,
sure.
you're talking about, you know, two free agent acquisitions, some young guys that you expect to develop, and then now if the Jaguars draft who we expect, which is Blackmon, now that group looks one of possible strength.
And this is exciting stuff, but I'll say what I said an hour ago. A wide receiver, you know, he will contribute, but there will be a limit to the contribution until he develops. That's just how it is with a wide receiver.
The
and
word
I'm not trying to throw water on it. That's how it is.
You know, the good thing is that –
pick is in, by the way.
If you had somebody to trust when it comes to Blackmon.
Sure.
You've got somebody there in Todd Monken, right?
Sure. Yep.
Todd Monken, former wide receivers coach with the Jaguars. Now he's the offensive coordinator for Blackmon's football team. So, I mean, you've got somebody you trust, and you got somebody – who obviously knows what it takes to be an NFL-caliber wide receiver.
And on this end, you've got Jerry Sullivan, who is a very, very accomplished wide receivers coach. Matt Khalil walking on the stage right now. Let's hear from Gene Smith on the big offensive tackle from USC.
Matt Khalil, offensive tackle, USC.
Probably the best pure left tackle in the draft. He comes from a family of football, from his dad to his brother, who's a center in the league. Excellent skill set.
Yeah, his brother was with him in the green room backstage. I mean, you're talking about great bloodlines there with offensive linemen. We talked to Tony Boselli about him earlier the week. You know, thought that he was a big, smart, strong, physical guy. Wasn't sure, you know, where he went, but you guys were talking about comparisons to the kind of tackle that is in the league right now. But I don't recall who you guys agreed on. We're talking off the air.
We talked about the guy in Carolina, Jordan Gross.
Yes.
The other one that was mentioned was Joe Thomas, but I haven't seen enough tape on Khalil to make that comparison. But as far
very
as
good,
the size
not elite.
In the build is a Jordan Gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good, not elite. That's
no.
In other words, he does not come in like Boselli did.
Right.
With the expectation that he was going to be great from the very beginning.
But I'm not sure there's a – in fact, I know there's not a Boselli in the league right now. Right? You don't have a guy who's at that level right now. And the number
– Or an Ogden, no.
Or an Ogden or even Orlando Pace, Walter Jones. When you had those guys, for whatever reason –
The best era of left tackle
amazing
of all
era.
Football.
Right. And now here you are with guys who are maybe another step down.
Logs, just while we're waiting. The pick is in, but one of the networks is in TV timeout, so we won't get it for a couple of moments. How long did it take you to realize in his rookie season that Tony Boselli was going to be elite, and what was it that made him elite from the very beginning?
It didn't take very long at all because, you know, with a left tackle, a lot of times you don't have to see them in pads. I mean, you got to see them in pads to confirm it, but you got to watch their feet. And to see Tony run in conditioning drills and when we were in no pads and the mini camps and such, his feet were just phenomenal. I mean, you could just see his athleticism, and he had obviously the length, the size, and everything that you want in a left tackle. And
I distinctly remember you telling me and Pete that first or second day
get-go.
Of minicamp. I mean,
yeah.
we came over to you specifically, and ask you what you think. And I remember you raising your eyebrows and saying, it's pretty good.
He's a stud.
It's pretty good.
And had great hands, and he was always one of those guys that you never had to have him taste defeat twice to learn. Once he saw something that it didn't work, he made the correction, and he learned from it. And he was probably one of the best young offensive linemen that I ever been around as far as how he learned so quickly.
All right, so Khalil comes in maybe a notch below that, but they got 3 picks for moving back one spot to
get
him.
Great move for
them. So that's a real sweet move for the Minnesota Vikings. Jaguars have made their pick. We're waiting to hear officially who it is, though we all believe, after reports from Tanya Ganguly and from Adam Schefter, that it will be Justin Blackmon. Jaguars move up to grab the wide receiver from Oklahoma State. Charlie Casserly, a former Redskins general manager and a guy that's now in the media, just tweeted, Jax gets a steal to get Blackmon for only a 4.
And the Cowboys just traded with the Rams.
Yeah, and they really like Mark Barron, the safety from Alabama. Right.
But what the Rams are telling you is they're moving back because their guy is not there.
Cowboys are Bill's fifth overall
pick. Tampa Bay has traded the 5th pick to Jacksonville. With the 5th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Justin Blackmon, wide receiver, Oklahoma State.
And so the Jaguars get a relative bargain considering what the Browns had to pay to go up one spot, what the Redskins had to pay with the Rams to go up, 5 spots? I mean, no, 4 spots.
Cowboys had to give up a second-round pick to move up to number 6 from where they were at, which was, where were the Cowboys at?
Cowboys at 14.
14. So 8 spots cost them a second-round pick, and the Jaguars moved up a couple spots and gave up a 4th-round pick. I'm good with that, and I think it's a position that I think the quarterback will get excited about. You've got a young quarterback who had a tough year last year. I think the fans have reason to be excited for a young, exciting wide receiver.
A playmaker.
That
star potential, potentially.
Had fantastic numbers in college, and there's no debate about that.
Let's hear from Gene Smith on new Jaguar Justin Blackmon.
Justin Blackmon, wide receiver, Oklahoma State.
Playmaker, a guy with good size. He attacks the ball. He's strong with the ball in his hands after the catch. Does not have elite speed, but does have tremendous playmaking ability.
All right, just got a text, and I'll tell you this live on the air, that Tony Buscelli just tweeted me and wants you to call him so we can get him on the... Okay. All right, Tony, answer your phone and give him a quick shout and see if we can't perhaps get Blaine Gabbert on the air. But this is a guy, and I watched him because he was in the Big 12, and Cole did as well because that's where we both went to school. I was Big 8 when I was there. But this was a guy that had big games in big games. In other words, if you saw him against Stanford in the Fiesta Bowl, he came out as the darling of that ball game.
And if you think about the Jaguars' draft history, they have never drafted a player this high in the draft since their first 2 years, when they picked both Buscelli and Hardy with the second pick of the draft. They picked 7th, they picked 10th, but they have not picked somebody this high, going all the way. 5th pick is as high as they've been since 96. And so I guess the question is Justin Blackmon going to have the impact that Tony Buscelli had on this franchise? Is he going to have the impact that Kevin Hardy had on this franchise? Either one of those, you'd probably feel pretty good about.
Well, the good thing is just a little background on Blackmon. The last 2 years won the Biletnikoff Award given to the country's top collegiate wide receiver. That's an incredible accomplishment when he has done it 2 years back-to-back.
All right, let's grab Tony Buscelli, who was out at the Jaguars 2012 Bud Light draft party. Right, okay. Hey, Tony.
Just listen real quick. The place is going crazy. You would have thought it was New Year's Eve or something down here.
So the fans are happy. That's a good thing, Tony. I mean, that's the one position that we thought that if Justin Blackmon were available, the Jaguars would have to take him because the fans, as Cole had said, were obviously rooting for Justin Blackmon as a pick, and now he's it.
Yeah, it's a pretty big night down here, and they're very excited. And we got a bona fide playmaker. Best wide receiver in the draft by far. and the Jaguars are aggressive again 2 years in a row. And we all kind of laughed last night on our mock draft, would the Jaguars trade up for Blackman? And nobody in that room thought they would. And here goes Gene Smith. And like we said, the only person who knew what was going on was Gene Smith. Aggressive play. He did it last year with Blaine Gabbert. Now he went to get Blaine a playmaker.
You know, giving up a fourth-round pick, I mean, that's a great move.
Oh, it's a great trade. You got to be kidding me. To go get your franchise receiver, the guy you think he was a big-time player, and giving up the 101st pick, the fourth-rounder, and that's it, to guarantee you get that guy, it's a brilliant move. It's a great, aggressive play by the Jaguars. Now you have LaRon Robinson on one side, Justin Blackman on the other, and Mike Thomas in the slot. You have a bona fide NFL receiving core there for the first time in a long time.
It's going to be a group that went from being who's going to play to who's going to play again, but it's for totally different reasons. I mean, this is going to be a competitive battle for roster spots and playing time, and any time you can have that with a young quarterback, that's going to make him better.
Absolutely, Jeff. You know that as players. Competition makes you better. It makes you push. It makes you prepare harder and hone your craft in. So I think it's a great situation. A position of the week 6 weeks ago just became a position of strength.
Here's the Cowboys selection at number 6. They traded up
to St. Louis has traded the 6th pick to Dallas. With the 6th pick in the 2012 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Morris Claiborne, defensive back, LSU.
All right, so Claiborne slides down the board a little bit, and the Dallas Cowboys go and grab him. Thanks to Tony Briselli for joining us from the draft day party. Jaguars move up. Number 5 with Tampa Bay, grab their guy, Justin Blackman. Here, by the way, is Gene Smith on Morris Claiborne.
Morris Claiborne, cornerback, LSU.
Cover guy. He's a bigger corner. He's got excellent ball awareness, ball skills.
All right, so the Jaguars have their guy. We expect to get Gene Smith and head coach Mike Mularkey. You know what? We need a break. We missed it at the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take it and get it out of the way. We'll come back and talk more about what Justin Blackman means for the Jaguars offense when we return on Jaguars Radio.
AM Sonnet. Welcome back to the 2012 NFL Draft on your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk WOKV.
All right, welcome back. Live coverage here from Everbank Field. Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, Cole Pepper, joined now by Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith. We got reports from Tony Buscelli over at the Fan Day Draft Day Party and Cole's wife down at Ponte Vedra. Reaction on Facebook and Twitter. People are really excited about this draft choice. What say you about Justin Blackman?
Well, I'm so happy he's a Jaguar. He'll have a cat on his hat for a long time. He will bring some obviously playmaking to our offense. He's a guy who has that competitive edge as a football player, and you know, from my end, he's a guy too that attacks the ball, and you like guys in contested situations that attack the ball. So I think there'll be a few Blackman jerseys around Jacksonville here in the future.
We were somewhat concerned when all of a sudden Cleveland traded up and the cost that they had to pay to Minnesota to move up, and then the rumors were circulating that the Jaguars were looking to move up. We were like, my first thought was, oh my, it's going to cost them a king's ransom to move up, but a fourth round pick. And Mark Dominic, me and you have had conversations before about different GMs that you're friends with, a guy that you're pretty close with, you guys were able to work it out.
No question, Jeff, and he was a man of his word, and I was so happy when the player was there be able to make the move to come up and again to add a playmaker to our offense, a guy with 40 career touchdowns, 250 plus catches. You know, he's kind of between like an Anquan Boldin and a Hakeem Nicks. I know some people that scouted like Michael Irvin coming out said he's a lot like him. I just saw him as an NFL player. All I know is he's a playmaker on your offense.
At what point did you feel confident you were going to be able to make the move to get to him? I mean, you talked about that Mark Dominic was a man of his word, as I expect a good Kansas guy to be. And but at what point, as all these trades and maneuvers were happening, did you say, "Yep, that's going to happen"?
Well, you really don't know until you get the commitment, and certainly the player had to be there. And again, you know, I think when you deal in the draft, yes, there's some bluffing that does occur, but then there's also some integrity in play. You know, your word's got to stand for something, and it did today. It enabled us to help our team, and it enabled them to help theirs. So I think it was a win-win.
This year, the draft room is different than in years past. Obviously, a new owner, a new head coach. What is the room like this year as opposed to previous years?
Well, more people. You know, Mr. Khan certainly has his son here, his daughter here. His wife is not here, and I'm certain is following it on TV. And so it was great, I know, for him to have his children here. It's great for me to see him enjoy this with his children. And again, you know, from a draft room standpoint, we try to make sure that through this process, we're not cramming for a final. We're studying every chapter, something that was probably a little different than my approach back in high school. But we don't try to cram. We feel like we have a process in place. We got good people driving it. And so when we're in the draft room, we just stay with the plan that's set. And you got to adjust sometimes. You don't know what's going to happen, but it played out well for us today.
So you radically reconfigured your receivers room. You've got a great receivers coach in Jerry Sullivan. You add LaRon Robinson and Lee Evans to go with Cecil Shorts and Mike Thomas, and now obviously Blackman. Give us your sense of the competition level and what's possible with that group, albeit in April.
Well, there's going to be great competition, and usually competition brings the best out in people. And I know, starting with Mike Mularkey and then Bob Bredkowski and Greg Olson, you got guys who have been offensive coordinators, some very creative minds, ways to scheme, create matchups. And then you got Jerry Sullivan, been in the league, as you guys know, a long time, highly respected. He's put a lot of receiver coaches, too, in the NFL. And he was a big part of this. Our coaches are involved in the process, and you know, he certainly got a feel for evaluation. And between the coaches and the scouts, and you know, everybody that's involved. I mean, we do a lot of work when we get to making a decision. And you know, I'm very fortunate to have people like that are passionate about what they do.
Gene, is your day over for all intents and purposes, or will you continue to work the phones to see if there's a chance to move back into the late first round at some point?
Well, we keep all options open, and like even tonight for me, West Coast teams, I'll be talking to them. Tomorrow, there'll be a lot of phone calls taking place because with the draft set up the way it is now, a lot of it takes place during the day. And, you know, there's some good players on that board for us to acquire talent here in the next couple rounds, and who knows what will play out here yet today. But it's been productive with the first pick. You got a lot of excited people, and you know, I'm just happy for this organization. We've added again a good player, and I think this is an ascending football team.
Just to give people an idea, because this draft obviously is 3 days, but the amount of time is just in hours. How many hours do you reckon that you and your staff put in to make this draft process come about? Estimate-wise, I mean, how many staff people do you have in ballpark of how many hours? Is it in the thousands of hours that you and your staff put in to come down to being on that clock?
It is, and it's so many people involved, you know, because there's an evaluation process taking place on different levels and with different people. And, you know, it's a calendar year, and it's a heck of a process to narrow it down on draft day, and then to be in position to make a move. I feel like preparation enables you to have a little bit of luck on game day, but, you know, certainly you got to have some things fall your way, and today it did. And so, again, I'm so happy for this organization.
Of all the people that were part of this process, what kind of a role did Todd Monken play in this? Former Jaguars wide receivers coach, now the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, and obviously knows Justin Blackman very well.
Cole, a big role. He was very helpful in this process, and certainly having coached receivers in the NFL, having been a part of our draft process and knowing what our expectations are for guys we bring here, he went above and beyond to help our cause, and I will certainly be calling him and thanking him because, again, he was one person that certainly assisted our cause in a big way, and I know Justin is grateful for that, and so are we.
Gene, congratulations, and obviously you've got to go and meet the other media. Just real quick, all we want is a name. Who are you drafting next?
Tell them who's there. Predict the next couple picks.
Thank you very much.
All right, Gene, thank you very much. That's Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith. You heard him first here on Jaguars Radio. We expect to get Mike Mularkey at some point in the near future, and maybe Jerry Sullivan. And let's take a quick break. And we will roll along here with our coverage of Jaguars 2012. Thanks so much to Gene Smith. Back after this.
Film has the Oscars.
All right, welcome back to EverBank Field live coverage of the 2012 NFL Draft right here on Jaguars Radio. Brian Sexton, Cole Pepper, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato here, and now we're pleased to be joined by Jaguars head coach Mike Mularkey. First of all, congratulations, Coach.
Yeah, very happy.
You got a big-time offensive threat, second year in a row with a rookie wide receiver.
That's right. Yeah, it is. I didn't even think about it, but it's a great move for our organization. Gene and Terry and the scouts did a great job for us, really great job.
When you came in here, and obviously you did roster evaluation, was one of the first things that I'm sure you did, and saw the glaring need at wide receiver, and then to go from where that was at that point to now Ron Robinson and obviously the draft pick that you got, Blackman and Evans. I mean, holy cow, the whole group has been just transformed instantly, it seems.
We certainly have upgraded since we've gotten here, and a lot of that has to do, again, with our scouting department and bringing in these guys in free agency and upgrading us, and even the addition of Jerry Sullivan as a receivers coach coming in. I think that'll play a part in our guys' ability to improve that position. But we definitely got better.
Each position, when it comes into the NFL from college, has a different kind of adjustment to make, whether it's a quarterback or a left tackle or a defensive end. What is important for a wide receiver to make that adjustment from being a star wide receiver at that level, being an elite college wide receiver, to coming into the NFL?
A little bit of it is patience. It is different. The speed is different. And you've heard about the speed. It is, and I think it catches guys off guard a little bit when they get in here, and they speed up a lot of their routes, their depths. They have a little bit of, a disruption at the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden they think, I need to break these things quicker. And one thing that this guy has, Justin, he's got the ability with his size and his strength on releases to go ahead and keep his depth, keep all his rules into play. Don't speed up things. Don't let defenders dictate your break. I just think he needs to see it in fast motion. But I think he has proven over the last couple of years, obviously with the touchdown production he's had, that he can make big plays. And I think he just needs to get a little bit of confidence when he comes in here. He's one of these guys that doesn't think he can get covered. And those are the kind of receivers you'll love to have.
And with that, a lot of times comes a diva attitude. And I had a chance to watch a program which he was on, and he just seems like a real even-keeled, level-headed, real good guy. That's a positive, isn't it?
There's a lot of things about him. You look at everything he did on the field, but there's some things off the field that really were amazing about him. I know he's very active in the community and with some charities. He's very active. And he's bringing a lot to our organization, and we're excited to get him.
Gene Smith might have said it best. He said, the first word out of his mouth, playmaker. And from looking at some of the highlights on Blackman, obviously leading up to the draft, what he's able to do once the ball gets in his hands is special.
Right. It's that run after catch that in this league is very important. But some of the catches that he made, difficult catches, he made them just look so easy. So that's a lot of that is just a confidence and an air about yourself. When I line up and thinking the guy across from me has no chance of covering me, that gives you the edge right off the bat, and we like that edge.
When the draft started, or maybe a half hour before, let's say 7:30 when we came on the air, did you think at that point that Blackman was gettable, that the moves could be made?
Well, we certainly were intent on that happening. I think you have to wait to see what happens with these other teams, but we certainly had a plan going into the draft, and fortunately, the way it all unfolded was a positive for us.
And so because of that, how difficult was it to sit there you knew who the first two picks were going to be with Luck and Griffin, but to sit there and say, well, that's the guy, you're targeting this player, you've got something in place to make it happen, how difficult is it to watch these things transpire from your point of view?
Well, when the trade went down with Minnesota and Cleveland and the number of picks that they gave up to make that one move, that puts a little bit of burden that this may be an impossible task. And, unfortunately, it came through, and I thought Gene just handled it really from the beginning really well and got the guy that we really had hoped to get.
Have you heard from your quarterback? Has Gabbert tweeted you, texted you, anything at all to let you know that he's thrilled?
No,
with his
but move? I kind of got word in a roundabout way from practice, just, hey, if you can get a word into Coach Malarkey, Blackman would be good for us.
Yeah. Right?
So yes. This was from this morning, so I know he's happy.
All right. Well, you've got a lot of people happy on your plate, obviously.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. And we'll ask you the same question that we asked Gene. Who are you picking with second-round pick?
Tell you the same thing Gene said. We'll wait to see who's there at that time.
All right. Coach Mike Malarkey, congratulations on getting your first-round pick out of the way and getting a big-time playmaker. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yeah, thanks, fellas.
Head coach Mike Malarkey. Should we break for news? Okay, you're right.
Yeah, we've missed a lot of the picks.
All right, so we'll go back. Jaguars pick Justin Blackman. Thank you, Coach. Number five, and then Tampa Bay grabbed, St. Louis traded back with Dallas, and Mark Barron, the safety from Alabama, went sixth.
No. The Cowboys traded up with the Rams and got Morris Claiborne.
Okay.
And then at seven, the Buccaneers took Mark Barron. The Dolphins at eight, Ryan Tannehill. Panthers at nine, select linebacker Keckley, and the Bills, Stephon Gilmore, corner, South Carolina.
So you are now caught up to date. 10 picks in the first hour. Not too bad. And the Jaguars got their man. And we've got time now for news. Here's no news? Just a break? Okay. We're rolling, folks. Tonight, everything is fluid in the first round of the 2012 NFL Draft. More to come right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the 2012 NFL Draft on your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk WOKV.
And welcome back to the 2012 Jaguars Draft Special, and the news is done. The Jaguars have selected Justin Blackman, the highly coveted wide receiver, the number one ranked wide receiver in the draft. And, Cole, the most impressive thing is that the Jaguars were able to move up what turned out to be two spots for only a fourth-round pick, which was the 101st overall selection, to get the guy that they wanted.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm reading between the lines on this, based on Gene Smith saying that Mark Dominic was a man of his word, and based on the kind of King's ransom we saw for the Browns gave up to move up to get Trent Richardson.
This was a done deal.
This was a deal that was they had agreed to before that other trade came down. And so kudos to Gene for having, being able to set the market before the market was set. I mean, this is like going in and buying a $150,000 house where 5 days later, every house in the block is going for $250,000.
I had mentioned this during the break to you guys. Can you imagine if you're a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan in which you traded out where you could have had Justin Blackman or you could have had Morris Claiborne, the top wide receiver, the top cornerback, but yet you trade back two spots and take a safety and what many consider to be a box safety or a guy that, that is more of a linebacker-esque type safety? The Buccaneers fans have to be going, kidding me?
The Eagles just moved up with Seattle, and ostensibly now there's going to be a run of defensive tackles now that Poe's off the board. And the word is from Jason LaCanfora in New York is that they gave up a fourth-round pick and a sixth-round pick.
So they gave up more.
To go from 15 to 12.
They gave up more to move up three in the middle of the round than the Jaguars gave up.
Boy, does that look like a good
deal. To move
deal.
Two at the top of the round.
Hey, let me just say this.
Wow.
If Mark Dominic needs a job tomorrow, he might get one here.
Right. What a deal. Fourth and sixth-round picks. 114 and 172 to go up three spots. Wow.
Hey, and so, folks,
what a great deal.
For all the folks that have been very critical of the general manager, Gene Smith,
you better at least acknowledge that
he knows what he's doing, and look at the deal that he got done today with minimal cost and compared to what else has happened in the first round.
All right, so
when we went to the break, the Chiefs were on the clock. They took Dontari Poe, the big defensive tackle from Memphis, who was a workout wonder and a guy that people were unsure where he fit because he hadn't done it for the Tigers on tape. But here's Gene Smith on Poe.
Dontari Poe, defensive tackle, Memphis.
Really a genetic freak. He's 346 pounds, running sub 5 flat. He's got power. He's athletic. He plays the game on his feet. I think his best football is ahead of him.
You always love it when a guy calls another guy a genetic freak. You know, when a general manager says genetic freak, you go, yeah, he's a good player.
You know, it's interesting, too. You mentioned run on defensive tackles. Fletcher Cox is going to go here very soon.
That's the belief.
And in Philadelphia, probably, who needs to get stronger up the middle. They made all those flashy moves in free agency and got stronger on the perimeter, but they were so weak up the middle that they had a disastrous season after spending all that money in free agency last year. They've got to make a move here for Fletcher Cox, I would think.
Well, they've already strengthened the middle of their defense somewhat in free agency. They were able to acquire the linebacker from the Houston Texans.
D'Amico Ryans.
And so, I mean, if they can add Fletcher Cox, I mean, that would certainly help.
You watched Cox a little bit on the combine tape, didn't you?
Yeah, and just watching his combine workout, he looks a little stiff. You know, and stiff is not good when it comes to defensive linemen. Now, hey, look, you know, maybe it was just a clip that I maybe read wrong or whatever, but you want the defensive lineman to be as athletic as possible.
All right, so the Eagles have made their pick. We don't have it at this point. Following that, we will see Arizona and then St. Louis. And in talking to Gene Smith, it sure seems like St. Louis was primed to take Justin Blackmon, and that's why they went backwards.
That's what
he told us. I don't think he said it on the air, but
I would think that that's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
And obviously you wouldn't want to jump up in front of the Rams. And we talked about it last night. If I was the Rams, and I was kind of joking around saying that Jeff Fisher in his time off probably realized that he didn't have a Super Bowl from Tennessee and took the time off to realize, hey, it's a quarterback league, and I wouldn't think that he'd draft the big guy. I thought he'd take Blackmon for his young quarterback.
Right.
I mean, it just makes sense.
So now he backs up, and I have to wonder if they were backing up thinking there'd be a shot at getting Michael Floyd from Notre Dame, or if they want a big guy and they'll take a receiver in the second round. Because remember now, there are a lot of receivers in the second round, and the Rams reportedly worked them all out all week long. So we'll see where that one goes. The Eagles are on the clock, and this is going to be Fletcher Cox. And we'll have Gene Smith's thoughts on Fletcher Cox in just a moment.
And you mentioned St. Louis and their maneuvering. They started the day at 6 and then keep working their way back. And Jeff Fisher usually likes to get big guys to start with. Right? A very similar kind of approach you would expect. They start loading up with the big guys. Same kind of approach we've seen Gene Smith take here. At what point can they stop moving back and still get the guys they need?
Well, you know, Adam Schefter is reporting that the Eagles traded up to get ahead of the Rams in order to grab Fletcher Cox. And if that's the case, then two guys that Jeff Fisher liked, that the Les Snead-Fisher combo liked, are both off the board. Now, they're still good players. David DeCastro and Riley Reif are two big offensive linemen. Whitney Merciless is a ruthless and relentless pass rusher.
I was hoping that if we don't mention his name, nobody will
slide,
pick him, and he might slide to the first part of the second.
You see look on Malarkey's face when you asked him about him. He smiled. He goes, oh, he's a really
good player.
He didn't
say. He just said he's a really good player, and he is a fantastic player. When you get 16 sacks in college, that's a good number.
So you're looking right now, as we're still waiting on the Eagles pick, they are dragging this thing out for television overall, and Fletcher Cox will go there, and what else is there to say about Fletcher Cox?
What's somewhat surprising is that, you know, I would say 50% of the people had Melvin Ingram already gone at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Seattle has traded the 12th pick to Philadelphia. With the 12th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Mississippi State.
And this is a big guy now, 6'4.5", 300 pounds, has some quickness. There's some thought that he's the best interior pass rusher coming out in this draft. Here's Gene Smith on Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox, defensive tackle, Mississippi State.
Fletcher could play in either front. Some people consider him a true 3-4 end, but in a 4-3 front, he could play left end and base downs and probably is a true 3 technique.
So in other words, he plays the position that Tyson Alualu plays.
He can play anywhere that you put him. You know, I mean, he's That's what Gene is saying. And when he's talking about left end and a base defense, he's a big guy. He's not super athletic to play that open side pass rush end. But, I mean, his numbers were pretty good, obviously, in the FCC at 5 sacks. But, I mean, that's less than one-third of what Merciless had at Illinois.
Yo. There are a lot of big bodies that could go right around here as well, not just on the defensive line. Here in the next 2, 3, 4 picks, you've got Riley Reiff from Iowa, who at some point people were talking about being a top 10 pick. You've got David DeCastro, the guard, who some analysts believe is the most surefire bet in the draft when you talk about a guy at his position, but he's a guard, so nobody, you're not going to draft a guard in the top 10. But you wonder at what point do some of those big bodies, Quentin Copels, guy who early in the draft process a couple of months ago, people were saying it could be a top 10 guy.
Well, Ingram, as we talked about, sliding down the draft board a little bit now, but you look at some of these 3-4 teams that are sitting there, he ain't going to last all that much longer, and he probably goes off the board ahead of Quentin Copels, wouldn't you think?
You would think, and I'm looking at the teams that are coming up that would run a defense that would fit his style, and obviously a 3-4 I think is where he fits best. The Jets sitting there at 16 I don't think he gets past them.
No, that's coming up real quick, and he's a guy that they reportedly really liked as well.
And so Arizona's on the clock now.
They need offensive linemen.
And so you would figure that Reiff and DeCastro both could fit here. However, I did see a tweet recently that people at Arizona in the front office told Larry Fitzgerald they were going to draft Michael Floyd to take some of the pressure off of him after losing Anquan Boldin a couple years ago.
Well, hold on. Before you go any further,
yeah.
I don't care who you draft. It's not going to take any pressure off of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, well, it certainly... You could triple-team Fitzgerald last year.
Or attention off of Fitzgerald.
You could triple-team him last year. The year before that, you just had to double-team him because you had to keep an eye on Boldin, right? So that's,
now, if you could draft Megatron...
But that might take some pressure off
of
him.
That would take a little pressure off of him.
Yeah, get A.J. Green in there, see what he can... Well, again, this is the point is... To me, Floyd is the biggest question mark of this draft in terms of the biggest swing, and some people see him and go, oh, that impact wide receiver. Some people see him and say, Reggie Williams. So maybe the truth is somewhere in between there. We'll see if Arizona decides to go with a wide receiver.
We're looking at the Arizona War Room, and they have windows. Could you see that? They had windows.
Their facility, by the way, been there before, is one of the most impressive facilities in the entire NFL, their training facility. It's amazing.
Windows in the war room, though. I mean, just so people know, the war room here is a cave.
It's taped up and security the whole
time. You can't even find it. You can't even find it if you wanted to.
They've got towels stuck under the doors that people aren't allowed to go in and out of.
You have a hard time making contact.
They had the Jacksonville FBI office probably going in there checking for
bugs
in that war room. And we expect that sometime we'll be on the air for another hour and 12 minutes. 15 minutes or so, and we hope to have Justin Blackman join us via the phone from New York, and maybe even Jerry Sullivan, the position coach. And we're also endeavoring to find Jaguars owner Shad Khan and get his thoughts as well on the first-round pick in his tenure as the Jaguars owner. Our live coverage, again, goes till 10:30. Jaguars grab Justin Blackman to go with LaRon Robinson. And, it's funny. Mike Thomas is a guy who, when asked about being the slot receiver, says, oh, there you go again. You're casting me in a role. But how does his role change with these two big guys? Because Blackman's 6'1", 210, and LaRon Robinson is, 6'2", 215? I mean, two big guys on the outside.
To me, I think that he's going to be number three to start out with, and he'd better get back to learning how to be a good punt returner. I mean, because a number three receiver, you've got to have something else that you can add to the equation.
There was no doubt that he has been miscast, pushed into a role out of necessity.
But let me add this now. He's got to fight for that because there's another guy by the name of Lee Evans who has a lot of experience, who's got incredible speed, work ethic, has familiarity with the head coach. The head coach was part of drafting him in Buffalo. As Gene Smith and Tony Boselli both said, it is going to be a competitive group now. Everything is going to have to be earned.
I'm going to draw a little parallel here between two position groups changing over the course of one offseason. 2 years ago, the Jaguars' linebackers were a mess. Right? You had Darryl Smith and nobody else you could really rely on. Jaguars went out and get Puzlesny in session in free agency. Wasn't a draft situation. But also, of course, Russell Allen then was able to play that backup role. Linebacker could have been the strength of this team last year, right? With that unit. I don't know if we're at the point we can start claiming that now, but you can see the kind of dramatic change that can happen with a position unit in the offseason when it's a focus. And, you know, for all the criticism that Gene Smith has had in terms of, you know, from fans talking about drafting or whatever else, hey, when his focus is on changing a position group, he can do it.
Here's the commissioner with the Cardinals.
With the 13th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Michael Floyd, wide receiver, Notre Dame.
All right, so Michael Floyd, the second receiver off the board, and you have probably seen the reports that Larry Fitzgerald wanted somebody on the other side, whether we believed it or not. So here is Gene Smith on Michael Floyd.
Michael Floyd, wide receiver, Notre Dame.
Bigger receiver, ran faster than people thought, certainly attacks the ball and has playmaking ability.
Notre Dame's all-time leading receiver, big kid, 6'3", nearly 220, and a guy who now goes opposite Larry Fitzgerald for the Arizona Cardinals. Jaguars get their man at number 5. They move up and grab Justin Blackmon. More on the Jaguars in the 2012 NFL Draft when we return here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to our live coverage of the 2012 NFL Draft. First round in primetime, and the Jaguars certainly go primetime with their move. They trade up 2 spots with Tampa Bay, giving up just a 4th-round pick, and they get Justin Blackmon. And the reason I say they give up just a 4th-round pick is right before the draft began, the Cleveland Browns gave up 4th, 5th, and 7th-round picks to go up 1 spot with Minnesota so they could secure running back Trent Richardson from Alabama. Earlier, March, what did the Redskins give up? I mean, they gave up the world to go and secure Robert Griffin III.
Well, 2 ones. This year's 1, next year's 1, and then a 2nd, I believe.
And they also had to throw in the Lincoln Memorial.
Right. And then to top it all off, the Eagles gave the Seahawks 4th and 6th round picks to go from 15 to 12. And so you love the move because you love the player, but you love the move for Gene Smith because I don't want to say he took Mark Dominic in the Bucs. He got a great deal.
Yeah, you can say that, Brian.
He took him.
Either way.
Because they went back and got Mark Barron, and we're not really impressed with that.
When we heard the rumors about him going up, when we were all somewhat fearful, like, you know, after seeing what Cleveland had to do or what they gave up to the Minnesota Vikings, we were like, oh, my gosh, and the Jaguars are talking about going up. What's the cost going to be to find out it was only the 101st overall pick? That's great. You know, to get the guy that you really covet.
Here's the question to ask yourself. If the Jaguars had moved back 2 spots and only picked up a 4th-round pick, would you have been satisfied?
If they got their
only
guy.
Only if they got their guy. Right? That's the only way. So, obviously, there are no guarantees. Apparently, Mark Barron was Tampa Bay's guy.
Or they didn't think Dallas was going to come up to 6 and they'd still be able to get Claymore.
Yeah, again, and I'm just looking at some reports out of Tampa right now and Mark Dominic saying, yeah, that was we really wanted Barron, but we didn't want to take him at 5. So again, if that is exactly what it is, then even moving down that's fine. But again, only picking up a 4th-round pick when you see what's happening around the rest of the league, it's Gene Smith 1, NFL Draft 0 as of today.
Well, and I'm excited because you know you have a young quarterback who just got hammered after last season, and it's all that any the draft experts and NFL experts have been talking about, Blaine Gabbert this, Blaine Gabbert that, and nobody really wanted to talk about a lot of the things that the young quarterback had to deal with, you know, a lockout, you know, not expecting to be the starter,
dysfunctional
ownership,
offensive staff,
you know, coaching staff that was delinquent, and now all of a sudden you've got a receiving core that is going to be outstanding for him in year 2. And a coaching staff that's going to work extremely hard, and I think that's got to get people excited. I'm excited for him and excited for this team.
All right. Can I interject the yeah, but, or the tap the brakes for a second here and just play devil's advocate on this thing? If for nothing else, then conversation, because we're going to be on the air for another hour plus. we know that rookie wide receivers rarely make huge impacts. They can make it, they can make a difference, but you know, super elite guys make a big splash early, but most rookie wide receivers take some time to adjust and get going in the NFL. Year two, year three usually is when you really see the breakout. You've also got Lee Evans coming off the injury, and some questions there. Laurent Robinson's never been a number one wide receiver. So Mike Thomas is trying to figure out where he fits in. Cecil Shorts wasn't, you know, only had a couple of catches last year. If you look at it from the pessimist side, there's still a lot of questions.
Sure.
You look at it from the optimist side, you say, hey, Laurent Robinson had 11 touchdowns last year with the Cowboys and wasn't even their top option. Mm-hmm. He's a playmaker. Lee Evans, he's healthy now, coming off, you know, a guy who's twice had 1,000-yard seasons. He's a veteran. He knows how to make plays. Justin Blackmon has been the dominant wide receiver in college football over the past 2 years.
And the scouting report on him says that when he walks in the door, he's an immediate starter.
Yeah, and then, as you know, again, what we saw on the practice field during training camp with Cecil Shorts, I think, Jeff, you and I certainly think that he's a better receiver than probably the man on the street believes he is right now. So,
Where does Cecil Shorts fit into this whole equation? Is he a guy? Is his upside to be a number two sometime? Well, here, wait, let's get the Rams selection here real quick before you answer that. Again, the Rams have traded back from six, and they are on the clock.
With the 14th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the St. Louis Rams select Michael Brockers, defensive tackle, LSU.
Remember now, they were looking at a big guy on the defensive line. Fletcher Cox is gone. Dontari Poe is gone. And this is the guy that most people thought was the next best big guy from Louisiana State. So back to Cecil Shorts for just a moment.
Where does he fit? I mean, he's going to have to find out for himself exactly where he fits. Well, but he's a young player who's got a lot of ability and a lot of talent.
Here's Jerry Sullivan, the Jaguars receivers coach. And so we'll get his perspective on that as he grabs a seat and puts the headset on. You're listening to live coverage of the Jaguars and 2012's first round. Coach, how are you? Welcome. Nice to see you. We could get you to step right up to that microphone a little bit there.
Doing well.
We were talking about young receivers, but let's go to your newest, in Justin Blackmon. Tell us from your years in the National Football League what you see in this young man from Oklahoma State.
It's interesting. When I was at the combine, I was on the floor because I was doing some work with some of the guys running routes. And I'd seen Justin on tape, and you know, I already made my evaluation. And Michael Urban is I've known Michael for a long time, and we're friends. Michael was working for the network, NFL Network, and he reminds me a lot of Michael. He's got that swagger about him. He's a very aggressive guy to the ball. He likes to play. He plays faster than he times. I liked everything about him. I think he's a. I had Anquan Boldin as a rookie, and Anquan was a great player for me. He made it, caught 100 catches as a rookie, and was sensational. He's got a lot of those qualities as a player. He has good instincts as a receiver. You know, it's kind of sometimes receivers are man-made. Sometimes they're instinctive. Sometimes they're not. He's a very gifted guy. I was retired last year.
Yes, sir.
And I lived in Austin. I have a house in Austin, Texas. So I got to be friends with my dentist, and he's a big Texas fan. So I went to see Texas play Oklahoma State, and watched Justin play. You know, had no idea, you know, that we would be crossing paths in a few months, and just really excited about this guy. I like him. I think he's going to add a dimension to our offense. This is a league that demands skill players. You know, it's a physical league, but you got to be able to throw the football, and you got to have guys that can go get the ball and make plays, and he's got that ability.
And I think one of his most impressive traits from reading all the scouting reports and what Gene Smith talked about as being a playmaker is the ability to run after the catch, those yak yards that he can get.
Right, and he's strong, and he's got some suddenness to him. Sometimes there's a knock. He's not quite as big as the Jones kid the year before or A.C. Green and whatever, but he's a football player, and there's a lot to be said for that. And, you know, he's got some gifts, and it's got some instincts. It's kind of like people that, you know, in this area, a lot of people go hunting. If you got a
if you got a dog that knows how to go get birds, if you're a bird hunter, some of them can go get them and some of them don't get them as well. This guy knows how to go get them. So.
All right. Coach, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
We appreciate your time this evening. We have to move right along with it. We're excited to get the chance to know you a little bit and talk about your other receivers. The group, by the way, before we let you go, the group has changed dramatically from the group that you inherited at the end of last season, has it not?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
I know that was the obvious question, but well, I wanted to see the look on your face.
You know what? I've never done a lot of predetermining. I told the guys when I got them, I said, hey, I'm going to kind of, I looked at a little tape on you to kind of get a little familiarity, but, you know, I mean, there's some young guys. I'm excited about Cecil.
That was where I was going to go next.
I'm excited about him. I think he's got some really good qualities, and he's bought in, and Mike Thomas took a step today. I thought it was a big step, and Chastain West is a young kid who's got some tools, so... You know, we're going to have a lot of competition, and which is good. And then, you know, guys get an opportunity to. I'm hard on them, but down the road, it pays off.
Thanks so much, Coach. Appreciate your time this evening.
My pleasure.
All right, that is Jaguars wide receivers coach Jerry Sullivan, and the reason we're moving on is we have a quick opportunity to grab Justin Blackman, who joins us via mobile phone from New York. And Justin, first of all, congratulations and welcome to Jacksonville. Give us a sense of what's going through your mind and your heart right now.
Oh, I'm just, you know, excited to be going to Jacksonville, be playing in that offense, and looking forward to working and getting to work.
Justin, did you have any idea that Jacksonville would kind of have you in their crosshairs? Obviously, Todd Monken spent some time here as a wide receivers coach. He's got a relationship with the Jaguars general manager, Gene Smith. Did you have any inkling that Jacksonville would be that destination?
I did not. I mean, it was a complete shock to me, but I didn't know that the needs were a receiver, but I didn't know exactly like when or how they were going to do it.
Justin, you also have some familiarity with your new quarterback, having played in the Big 12. Year before, Blaine Gabbert was playing for Missouri.
Right.
What kind of relationship, if anything, do you have with Gabbert, and have you had a chance to connect with him yet?
I do not have a relationship with him as of right now, but... I know he's got a great arm, and he's a great competitor, and I've seen that just from watching him or playing against him when he was at Missouri.
Justin, we just had what is going to be your new positional coach, Jerry Sullivan, here in our studios, and Jerry is respected as one of the best wide receivers coaches that in the National Football League. You got to be excited to work for a guy that brings that kind of respect into the meeting room.
Right. I mean, I'm very excited to, you know, just to be down there and be down there with the coaches and the coaching staff that's down there now. So I'm just anxious to get down there and get started on and see what's in store for the future.
You know, we've heard from Coach Sullivan, and we've heard from Mike Mularkey and Gene Smith. You're a guy that when you step onto the field, you bring a certain swagger. Now, you seem to be low-key off the field. Everyone, we've seen the YouTube videos and your relationship with a leukemia patient. It seems like you make a transformation when you cross the white line.
You say what?
I said it seems like you make a transformation from a mild-mannered guy to a superhero when you cross the line.
Right. I mean, that's just, you know, how you do. Football is a competitive physical sport, and you know, I just try to be as physical and competitive as I can be.
All right. Justin Blackman, congratulations on being selected in the top five, and we look forward to getting you down to Jacksonville for maybe tomorrow.
Thank you. Can't wait.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Number 81 at Oklahoma State. May have to work for that number a little bit.
He's not going to get it here. LaRon Robinson's already got that number here.
All right, there you go.
That
right.
Didn't happen.
We'll figure that one out as we go along, but the Jaguars have a couple of receivers.
The contracts aren't that big for the rookies to buy that jersey.
Exactly. Not anymore.
And so the Jaguars have dramatically improved their position at wide receiver, and we're due for a break. Let's take it now. When we come back, we'll look at the offense as a whole and talk about some of the other weapons and where they might fit in and just how this thing could unfold as we go forward here. Draft night 2012, Jaguars make a dramatic move, go up to 5, grab the receiver, best in the draft, Justin Blackman here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the 2012 NFL Draft on your flagship station for Jaguars football. News Talk WOKV.
All right, so we've heard from Gene Smith, and Mike Mularkey and Jerry Sullivan and Justin Blackman. Got you covered here like no one else can. Jaguars Radio on News Talk WOKV. Brian Sexton along with Cole Pepper and Jeff Loggeman. We're going to go till 10:30, and we are halfway through the first round now as the Jets have made their selection. And here is the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
With the 16th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the New York Jets select Quinton Coples, defensive end, North Carolina.
Wow. That fits. That's what the Jets do.
I mean, but I mean, holy cow, Quinton Coples, who many people say that he's not worthy of a first-round pick, questionable effort, with Ingram still on the board.
Well, what does that say about Melvin Ingram?
Oh, it means he's his measurables have been an issue.
You bet. And so as you look now, for Ingram, you're looking for the next 3-4 team that comes up. And for Ingram, boy, I tell you what, 3-4, San Diego's
Chargers,
the 3-4.
Yeah,
that'll be the first one that comes up.
Yeah. And if that doesn't happen there,
yeah, then you got to go to 24 where the Steelers are waiting.
Yeah, way down there.
Or maybe the Houston Texans. All right, so here is Gene Smith on Quinton Coples.
Quinton Coples, defensive end, North Carolina.
Another defensive end that could play in either front. Could be a 3-4 end, could be a 4-3 end. Very talented.
All right, so there you go. The Jets at number 16 grab Quinton Coples, and we'll take a break and continue with our live coverage of the 2012 NFL Draft. On Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. About 15 more minutes in our coverage. We'll sign off at 10 o'clock here. Jaguars have long since picked. They grab Justin Blackman, the wide receiver from Oklahoma State, by moving from 7 to 5. I have to point this out, guys. When you consider what Washington and Cleveland and Dallas and Philadelphia paid to move up, in every instance, Gene Smith absolutely stole the fifth pick, which he used for Justin Blackman. What a great deal for Gene and the Jaguars to give up a fourth-round pick. Dallas went and gave up a second-round pick, but Cleveland went up from 4 to 3 and gave up 4, 5, and 7th-round picks. What a deal.
But I'm looking forward to seeing Justin Blackman looking. I believe there's a rookie camp next weekend.
Yep, that's right.
Which will be our first opportunity to see him in person and see him get out there and practice. So,
which means they've got to bring a quarterback in who's a rookie, don't they? Because veterans aren't there.
Well, you know, and the other thing to kind of add to that, you know, the roster limit has changed within the last couple of weeks. Now they're allowed to have 90. So I'm sure that not only will Gene and his staff be busy, you know, the rest of tonight and then the next couple of days, but also right after to sign all the best rookie free agents you can possibly get.
All right, here's the Bengals pick at number 17.
With the 17th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Dre Kirkpatrick, defensive back, Alabama.
The corner from Alabama, the third corner now to go off the board here in the first 17 picks, and Gene Smith has this to say, another Alabama player gone.
Dre Kirkpatrick, cornerback, Alabama.
Dre is a guy with size and has good press man ability. He's a guy that's been very productive at getting his hands on the ball in the SEC.
All right, Jaguars pick at number 5, and the first round rolls along number 18, which means that the San Diego Chargers are now on the clock. This break and more live coverage from Everbank Field in just a moment on Jaguars Radio.
News Talk.
All right, rolling right along here from Everbank Field. Sexton, Loggeman, Pepper, Joe Fortunato as well. Chargers on the clock. Their pick is in. We're going to sign off after just 2 hours of the first round, and we'll probably be to pick 20, 19 at the very least. So the first round now flying along, and you think this is where Merciless goes, right?
Yeah, well, or, I mean, it could be the outside linebacker defensive end from South Carolina.
Still on the board. Yeah. Melvin Ingram.
You know, because they run the 3-4 in San Diego.
There's some pass rushers out there. Let's talk a little bit about where this Jaguars team may go at pick 38 tomorrow night, obviously, because the second round begins tomorrow evening. You know, there's a couple of guys, and we don't know who's going to get picked the rest of the first round, but, you know, you've got Chandler Jones from Syracuse, Whitney Merciless from Illinois, Melvin Ingram from South Carolina. Nick Perry from USC. I mean, there's a bunch of guys out there on the board, and then some guys that people had picked for the second round, the Crick
kid from Nebraska.
Derrick
so
Crick, yeah.
Yeah, lots of opportunity to still get what they need.
Courtney Upshaw still there?
Yeah, he from is. Alabama.
We know a couple of names you could probably take off the list. They're probably not going after Stephen Hill, the wide receiver from Georgia Tech, Brian Quick, the receiver from Appalachian State.
Right.
You know, Kendall Wright, if he's still there, the right wide receiver. They're probably not picking a receiver in the second round. Well, I think almost any other position is probably fair game.
Defensive line. They have got to look at addressing defensive line. I mean, to me, that's your position that you've got to do something about in the remaining part of this draft. I mean, just watching him in minicamp, I mean, it was first off, you got John Chick, who's been hurt. Campman's been hurt. Tyson Alualu's been hurt. I mean, just from a number standpoint, you'd have an issue going into training camp right now just because you wouldn't have the numbers to be able to practice.
You know, we are 19 picks in now. Well, the Chargers have picked, so we're about to go with number 19. And there's only one defensive end off the board, and it's Copels.
Well, Bruce Irvin is a outside linebacker slash defensive end. You know, so, I mean, you could consider him as a defensive
but
end.
But a true hand on the ground end. Copels is the only one so far.
Yeah, and I don't know what the Seahawks are envisioning for Bruce Irvin, but, folks, if you want to read an interesting bio, read up on Bruce Irvin. He's going to be 25 years old in November, quit high school and got his GED and then went back. That's an interesting story.
Right, here's the Chargers selection at 18.
With the 18th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft, the San Diego Chargers select Melvin Ingram. Linebacker, South Carolina.
For their 3-4, that one just makes sense. Undersized guy to play on a 4-3 line, but quick as all get out, relentless, great pursuit. And Gene Smith had this to say about Melvin Ingram.
Melvin Ingram, defensive end, South Carolina.
A football player, a guy who could play 3-4 outside backer, could put his hand in the ground, a guy who did have production coming out of a strong conference in the SEC.
All right, let's take a break, come back, and wrap up our coverage of the 2012 NFL Draft here on Jaguars Radio.
Hey, Jaguars kids, did you know there's now a cool new club just for you?
If you're age 6 to 12, you can become a member of the Jaguars Kids Club.
You'll snag some awesome Jag stuff, including an exclusive t-shirt, lanyard, cinch pack and pencil case, style and shoelaces, a beach ball, and eye black stickers just like the players wear.
You'll also get a monthly e-newsletter, invitations to special events and contests, and even a Jagtastic birthday card from Jackson DeVille.
Just tell Mom or Dad to visit JaguarsKidsClub.com to get you signed up today.
All right, so 2 minutes left in our coverage. We really appreciate Joe Fortunato for his work tonight and making all this go seamlessly. Joe, thank you very much. John Dineen along helping this evening, our road spotter. All right, so the Bears pick is in, and the early tweets, and boy, tweeting has changed the dynamic dramatically of this draft, is that Deshae McClellan, who is the outside rushbacker, a defensive end from Boise State, is the Bears' selection. And the reason that we're smiling right now is because every person that picks, you know, every team that picks and doesn't pick, Whitney Mercilus allows the Jaguars an opportunity to maybe climb a little bit and go after him because they like him a lot.
Well,
we know Jeff likes him a lot.
I mean, when a guy gets 16 sacks and he's
playing
still
in the Big Ten.
He's still young as far as playing time goes. You know, he doesn't have great experience. I mean, can you imagine what the future can hold when he continues to develop as a player?
And Jeff, pass rush and improving the passing game, those are two areas the Jaguars needed to do this offseason. And they really haven't been able to do much other than keep Jeremy Mincy in terms of improving the pass rush. Who knows? Maybe a fortuitous second-round pick might wind up doing that for him.
Well, and you got the Patriots that have two picks at the end of the first round. You know, they like to trade down and get more picks. You know, could the Jaguars use some ammunition to get their guy?
Here's the Chicago, and then we're done.
18th pick in the 2012 NFL Draft. The Chicago Bears select Shay McClellan.
So there you
defensive go. Defensive end, Boise State.
All right, folks, stay tuned. Jaguars trying to improve their football team. They've done it a big way tonight, grabbing Justin Blackmon with the 5th overall pick. Have a great night, and thanks for joining us on Jaguars Radio.
This has been the 2012 NFL Draft. on the flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars, News Talk WOKV. Be sure to join us every Wednesday night at 6 for Jaguars This Week. Thanks for listening. Good night, and go Jaguars!